This podcast is brought to you by the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania.
Recently, Tyson Foods switched its pharmacy benefits manager from CVS Caremark to startup Right Way because the cost of what CVS was charging for medicines was too high in their expectation. And that type of move seems to be the latest way for companies to try and control the cost of their benefits plans on the healthcare side. Pleasure to be joined by Wharton Professor of Healthcare Management, Lawton Robert Burns, who joins us right now. Rob, great to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to be here.
So specifically about this move that Tyson Foods make, is this a move that we're starting to see more companies either consider or make right now?
Well, you know, we're beginning to see a number of players in the downstream pharma chain make some moves like this, and they're kind of experimenting. So the employers themselves may switch who their PBM is. Insurance companies may also switch who their PBM is. And so Blue Cross Blue Shield of California being one of the most recent, and their efforts to set up their own PBM. So there's a lot of experimentation going on. Not sure how all this is going to shake out.
But this is part of the larger discussion around the cost element that's involved in this industry right now. And I guess the bigger question is, how do we get more control around the cost component?
Well, you know, that it's part of an even bigger question is, how do you control the rising cost of healthcare, period? Drugs, pharmaceuticals are just one part of that. You know, it's 10 to 14% of the total nation spend on healthcare is on drugs. But we spend a lot more on hospitals and doctors, and we still haven't figured out a way to control those two things. So they're actually third in line, you know, in terms of areas where we're trying to control healthcare costs. And I'll be honest with you, and this, your readers ought to know this, is that we haven't come up with, you know, a plan to do this. There's no silver bullet.
So we're still a ways away from really having a system, and maybe we'll never get there, a more seamless system to be able to provide these options at a relatively comfortable cost for the consumer.
Well, you know, as I published a textbook 3 years ago, and as I explained to the people who read it, we don't have a system in healthcare. We have an ecosystem of lots of players. You know, it's akin to a jungle with lots of critters out there, you know, and their buyers and sellers, you know, those who need to make products, those who buy the products. And there's no real system that, you know, makes all of this work seamlessly in some kind of coordinated fashion. It's, you know, basically a jungle out there.
It does seem, though, like there is more competition out there in this marketplace right now when you see startups like Right Way coming on board and being able to connect with larger companies like Tyson Foods.
Well, you know, competition's good. I mean, competition's improves quality. Competition reduces cost. The evidence is pretty clear on that. Getting competition into all the different verticals or all the different sectors of healthcare is another issue. But I'm all for that. A lot of my colleagues here at Wharton are all for this. The question is, you know, can these startups, you know, gain traction and succeed in the marketplace? That's always difficult because much of the healthcare system is already consolidated, and especially in the pharmaceutical supply chain, you know, just about everybody's consolidated. And so it's not easy to get a toehold and survive, but there is competition. There's vigorous competition even among the large behemoths that are out there. So that's the good news.
It also seems like the discussion around price transparency is one that is drawing more and more discussion right now.
Well, you know, we've been kicking that idea around for a long time. My colleague Mark Pauly and I have written quite a bit on that. I think people overemphasize the impact of price transparency. Even the Congressional Budget Office put out a report 2 years ago saying, you know, this is small potatoes. we ought to be focusing on other things if we're going to try to contain healthcare costs and drug costs. I'm not saying it's unimportant, but, you know, it's clearly not going to be the big driver.
So if there's not kind of a silver bullet out there, then what are some of the ideas that maybe we need to consider moving forward?
Well, you know, instead of silver bullet, we're looking at bronze buckshot. And so we need lots of smaller ideas that are going to gain traction, and hopefully they'll accumulate and add up to being, you know, meaningful reductions in cost, or at least cost escalation. You know, one thing, the big thing we need more is in the drug space, is we need more competition. And so there are a lot of new products coming out on the market that are very expensive, for which there is maybe one or no competitors. And if you have a product class where there are no competitors, then that manufacturer who's got that one product can basically do whatever they want. So we need to encourage competition in that. And there are a whole lot of proposals out there to do that. I think one positive, promising sign is the rise of biosimilars, and they finally changed some of the regulations on that to allow the biosimilars. And these are, you know, generic versions of biotech drugs, which are very expensive. And those things can make a big dent in the after the product's launched, you know, just how much price increases these companies can get away with. So that's one promising development, and we'll have to see how that plays out. But that seems to be the most promising thing out there, because that's competition.
What about the exclusivity window that companies get when they bring a drug to market? Does that need to be looked at?
Well, you know, that's always, you know, a topic of discussion. You know, that there are pros and cons to that. You know, the pros meaning you can get more biosimilars and generic drugs to compete with the brand drug sooner. The downside is what impact might that have on, you know, the willingness of drug and biotech companies to innovate? I'm not the expert on how all that's going to shake out. But there's always in the back of people's minds, you know, we don't necessarily want to kill off this industry, because, you know, the life sciences sector is one of the U.S.'s leading technology sectors globally. We don't want to kill that.
Yeah. Companies have obviously had to take a closer look at this cost component because of what they, you know, have had to pay. But I think it is also a good thing, you know, in general, that the companies are aware and they are making moves similar to what Tyson Foods made to be willing to make this adjustment if they feel like it is better for their bottom line, but also for the bottom line of their employees as well.
I totally agree. And if we have, you know, not only employers, but also the health insurers, you know, being a little bit more experimental in how they structure their health benefits and who they contract with for their pharmacy benefits, you know, that keeps that whole nexus of players, the PBMs, the insurance companies, the employers, that keeps them all on their toes. That's a pretty vibrant, competitive sector. And so most people don't appreciate that. And I think the more competition there, the better.
Rob, great to talk with you again. Thanks very much. We wish you all the best, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You got it. Rob Burns, who is a professor of healthcare management here at the Wharton School. To explore more content from the Wharton School, visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.